Well, good morning. It is such a joy to be with you all this morning. If you don't know this, my family really loves you. And it is such a delight to be able to be with you and not just sneaking in at the end of a fellowship meal. It's good to be with you all morning. So I'm so pleased to be able to spend this day with you. Our Old Testament reading today comes from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 7 and 15 to 17. I invite you to hear now the words of the Lord. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk with me and be trustworthy. I will make a covenant between us, and I will give you many, many descendants." Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "But me, my covenant is with you. You will be my ancestor of many nations. And because I have made you the ancestor of many nations, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. I will make you very fertile. I will produce nations from you, and kings will come from you. I will set up my covenant with you and your descendants after you in every generation as an enduring covenant. I will be your God and your descendants' God after you." God said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will now be Sarah. I will bless her and even give you a son from her. I will bless her so that she will become nations, and kings of peoples will come from her." Abram fell on his face and laughed. He said to himself, "Can a 100-year-old man become a father, or a 99-year-old woman have a child?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. O Lord, as we open our hearts and our minds to these scriptures, may you speak to us today. May you open us up that your spirit might move within us and among us, that we might hear whatever word you have to say to each of us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. I love the image that these words conjure up within our minds. We see a 99-year-old man bowing before the Almighty in faithful obedience while his whole body shakes with laughter. Laughter is one of those things that scientists can't quite figure out. Why we laugh, what we laughed at, there's all sorts of theories and speculations, but laughter remains an elusive phenomenon. Have you ever laughed at the wrong thing at the wrong time? I know I have. These moments that shouldn't elicit a laugh, but they do, and it's quite embarrassing when you laugh and no one else is. But I'll laugh at things that are darkly ironic. I'll laugh at situations or at moments that are hard to believe. I'll laugh at things that are too good to be true. And I suspect that's what we see happening to Abraham as he's rolling on the floor with laughter after sharing this most significant moment with God that he had yet to share. It was all too good to be true. It was so hard to believe. After all, Abraham was 99 years old when God shared this news with him. And it wasn't the first time that God appeared to Abraham, but this marked a turning point in Abraham's life. It marked a turning point in what the future would hold for all of Abraham's descendants, which of course includes us. You guys know that old children's song, "Father Abraham." Trust me, you don't want me to sing it, but maybe you'll sing it. "Father Abraham had many sons." Come on, I know you guys can sing. "I am one of them, and so are you." You can always count on the choir. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. So Christianity is considered an Abrahamic faith. We Christians, just like Jews and Muslims, trace our religious heritage back to Abraham. All three of these world religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, count Abraham as our father in the faith. We count ourselves as part of Abraham's family tree. And this is why today's scripture passage is so important for us to read and to understand, because it's talking about us. We, who have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus, we are included in the lineage of Abraham's descendants. This covenant that God made with Abraham is also made with us. So we must pay close attention to what God said to our forefather in the faith. So there was Abraham, 99 years old, when God appeared to him and said, "I am El Shaddai, God Almighty." This Hebrew word to describe God's self here had not yet been used in the Old Testament. It's a new designation, and God was telling something very important to Abraham in introducing himself as El Shaddai, because it loosely translates to something along the lines of God of the mountains. And it's significant considering the promise that God is making to Abraham. For when we think of mountains, the adjectives that come to mind are large and grandiose and unmovable, steady and consistent and constant and unshakable. Such is the nature of God's promise that he made to Abraham, a promise that we call a covenant. "But me, my covenant is with you," God told Abraham. And we can sense the depth of relationship that is at the heart of this covenant. God made this covenant with Abraham because he loved him. And moreover, God made this covenant because he loved the whole world. He loved all the nations who would one day be blessed by Abraham's descendants. So first thing we notice, that this is not an impersonal covenant. It is built upon this incredible relationship between God and a human. And it's an invitation to all of Abraham's children who would one day inherit this covenant. It's an invitation for all of us to be in the same holy relationship with God. And as a relationship, this covenant involved mutuality. As in any relationship, God expected Abraham and his descendants to respond to God's promise to love God in a particular way. "Walk with me and be trustworthy." That's what the Common English Bible translates God's command to Abraham to say. The NRSV says, "Walk before me and be blameless." Neither of these, commentators tell us, fully grasp what God was actually saying here. There's no English equivalence to easily describe what God was asking of Abraham. To walk before God is to live in God's presence, to welcome God's presence into every moment of one's life. And to be blameless or to be trustworthy is not to be without fault or sin. It's to live wholeheartedly, to have integrity, to ensure one's actions and values and faith align so that we can live rightly in harmony with God, in harmony with all of creation. That's what God meant when he commanded Abraham to live blamelessly, trustworthily. It's what God means to us when we are invited into this covenant. "Walk in my presence and be wholehearted," God instructed. And then he declared the terms of the covenant that has now been known as the Abrahamic covenant. God made this covenant with Abraham and promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations. And to illustrate the seriousness of this promise, God changed his name. He had been known as Abram, which meant esteemed father. And Abraham is his new name, which means father of many. So God's so serious, he's like, I'm gonna even change your name, Abraham, so that you know that this covenant is so real, so enduring. And God's promise continued with God telling Abraham that from his descendants, God will make a multitude of nations, that kings will come from him and Sarah, that all the world will be blessed by the family they would create. What's so unbelievable about this covenant is that God doesn't make it contingent upon human behavior. So in the Old Testament, there are two types of covenant that God makes with God's people. There are conditional covenants. If you do this, then this will happen. It's what we hear God telling the people through Moses on Mount Sinai when he gives the law and the Ten Commandments. If you live by these laws, he tells them, you will prosper. If you don't, you won't. When we break the terms of these conditional covenants, the covenant promises are invalidated. But then there are unconditional covenants in Scripture. These are the covenants that God makes with us that do not require human participation for the covenants to be valid. The covenant that God made with Noah is one such covenant. God promised he'd never again flood the entire earth, no matter the direction humans take, and God set in the clouds a rainbow as a sign of that everlasting covenant. This promise that God made with Abraham is another unconditional covenant. God said that this covenant would be an enduring promise, an everlasting covenant, that God would be God to Abraham and to Abraham's offspring forever, no matter what. Did God want Abraham and his offspring to walk blamelessly and wholeheartedly? Of course. That's how God hopes that we respond to God's love and God's grace. But God's covenant to Abraham and to Abraham's children lasts forever, no matter what. God will be our God, and nothing will make God disavow us or disown us, ever. There are other unconditional covenants made in the Old Testament. One was the covenant that God made with David when he promised that one of David's descendants would be the Messiah, the great king who would restore all things and lead with justice and righteousness. The other was the covenant God made in Jeremiah, a promise of a new covenant in which God would give us forgiveness, would instill his very presence and his law in our hearts, would bring us into a new kind of life with God for eternity. A covenant, of course, that looks ahead to the new and unconditional covenant that Jesus brings. So you'll hear about both of those covenants in future weeks when Kevin comes back. But for now, here, as we look at this Abrahamic covenant, it's important to remember that in here, in this moment of covenant between Abraham and God, we are getting a glimpse of God's heart. God is laying it all out on the line. God is revealing God's self to Abraham in the most powerful of ways. And it's a glimpse that will continue to be revealed to us through the other covenants that God will make. It's a theme throughout all of Scriptures. It's the theme that we see in Jesus when he arrives as God incarnate. We are learning that God is a God of steadfast faithfulness and unshakable love. God of the mountains, whose love can never be cut down, whose faithfulness will never fail. Like the sturdiest of mountains, God's promises and God's love cannot be moved, cannot be shaken or wasted away by any of our mistakes or failures or foolishness. And so, Abraham received this astounding news and he laughed. He laughed because God told him that even in his old age, even in his wife's 90th year, that they would have their first child. And this child would be the beginning of multitudes. Abraham laughed because it was all too much, too hard to believe, too good to be true. And while it might be tempting to look at this moment with judgment and tisk Abraham, telling him you better pull it together, buddy, for this important moment, I personally find it comforting and endearing that Abraham responded to these great promises of God with laughter. It's so human, isn't it? This incredulity behind his laughter, this question that Abraham has, can a 100-year-old man become a father? Can a 90-year-old woman have a child? It's so unbelievable, so impossible. And yet it was the best news he'd ever heard. So of course, he laughed. It was the happiest day of his life. And so while Abraham was surely laughing with shock or with disbelief, I bet he was also laughing with joy and amazement and hope and longing for his dreams to finally be realized. Laughter, Lent seems like an odd time for us to focus on a story that ends in laughter, right? Because in Lent, we're supposed to be somber and sullen, right? But I think this Lent, it would do us some good to reclaim laughter as a holy act of worship. Because Abraham's laughter symbolizes the depth of his faith, and it reminds us of the pattern of our own faith journeys as well. Abraham, of course, was famous for trusting that whatever God would promise, God would deliver. Laughter aside, incredulity aside, Abraham trusted that God would deliver whatever God promised. Even a child at age 100, even a multitude of descendants from a couple who had long ago been declared barren. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks said it like this: faith is the ability to live with delay, without losing trust in the promise, to experience disappointment without losing hope, to know that the road between the real and the ideal is long, and yet be willing to undertake the journey. That was Abraham and Sarah's faith. I love that quote. This is also the faith that the cross of Christ compels us to embrace. For as we approach Holy Week, when we remember Jesus' arrest and his suffering and his death, we remember that our faith is built upon something as impossible and unbelievable as the promise God made to Abraham ages before. Nobody expected a Messiah to die. Nobody expected a Messiah to rise from the dead. This prospect is as impossible to consider as the promise that God made to Abraham and Sarah. And so here we are, children of Abraham, children of this covenant that God made with Abraham, followers of a crucified Savior who defeated death itself and was raised to new life. Beginning with Abraham, God has called us to believe the unbelievable, to trust in the impossible, to trust that what God promises, God will deliver, no matter how much it goes beyond our human capacity to understand it. And today we are called to live with that same quality of faith as Abraham. We know what it's like Abraham did, to live with delay, with uncertainty and questions and doubts, when life isn't going as we thought it would, when our dreams have been long deferred. We have hopes that we are waiting for God to fulfill. We have questions for which we have long sought answers. And perhaps the call for us this Lent, as we follow in the footsteps of our father Abraham, is to live in this season of delay without losing trust in the promise of salvation, without losing trust in the covenant in God's guidance, in God's promise of God's very presence, in the promise that God is our God and there is nothing we can do about it. Perhaps the call for us this Lent is to recommit our living wholeheartedly as Abraham did, to let our faith guide our behaviors. And Abraham was able to laugh because he knew that as unbelievable as it was, God would not go back on God's promises. That's the gift of the covenant that we have received. God's covenant is unconditional. It's like a sturdy mountain. God's steadfast love is unshakable, unchanging, unmoving. God will continue to invite us into this covenant relationship no matter what. God will continue to invite us to walk wholeheartedly as God's people, to return to God when we mess up, to know that there is nothing, 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 nothing that we can do to change God's love for us, to change God's claim on us as God's beloved children. This is too good to be true, but true it is. So maybe some joyful, incredulous laughter is called for. Maybe it's even good for the soul because laughter like Abraham's reminds us that God is good, that God does the impossible, that God will never, ever give up on us. Thanks be to God. Amen.